WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Former Louisiana police officer Brent Hankinson, convicted of violating the civil rights of Breonna Taylor in a 2020 shooting, was sentenced today to 33 months in prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release. The Justice Department had recommended the court's sentence be just one day. Hankinson is among several police officers who were executing a no-knock warrant at the apartment complex where Taylor also lived. Calls still growing for the release of the full Jeffrey Epstein files. The House Speaker, though, says no vote will take place until after the recess.
The Speaker says now that the President is seeking the release of grand jury material, House Republicans and the White House are in alignment on the Epstein files. Mike Johnson says he won't call a vote before the August recess on a measure urging further releases.
The majority party has stated its position, and it is mine and it is the President's, that we want maximum disclosure. So the rest of it is a political game that Democrats are playing.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin's summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A proposed bill in the Wisconsin State Legislature seeks to address a shortage in the number of school bus drivers across the state. According to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles, the number of bus drivers in the state has fallen by nearly 20% over the last 15 years. The legislation would make it easier for older drivers to keep their license by requiring drivers over 70 years old to retake their driver's test every 4 years instead of every 2 years. About a quarter of school bus drivers in the state are over 65 years old. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to become community scientists by contributing to the Game Bird Survey. According to a press release, the survey will be open through the end of August and seeks to measure the reproductive status of game birds across the state. The data collected from the surveys is then used to help DNR officials make informed population management decisions for the birds. More information and a link to download the survey can be found on the Department of Natural Resources website. The criminal cases against a pair of Cumberland residents accused of delivering methamphetamine during a drug sting will go to trial this fall. 39-year-old Nicholas Schick and 35-year-old Amber Hirsch were both charged with felony delivery of meth as party to a crime in Barron County Circuit Court in relation to the drug sting. Both entered not guilty pleas to the charges, and jury trials for both were scheduled for November 3rd. If convicted, Schick and Hirsch are facing up to 12.5 years in prison and fines of up to $25,000. Barron Electric Cooperative and CoBank have announced a joint donation to the Spooner Fire District for critical equipment. The organizations donated $2,000 for the purchase of self-contained breathing apparatus. The equipment ensures firefighters can breathe safely while working in environments where they could be exposed to harmful smoke or gases. Spooner Fire District officials said they're grateful for the donation to ensure their firefighters have the best tools available as they protect residents across Washburn and Burnett counties. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers head to Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers opening a 3-game series against the Mariners at T-Mobile Park. The Brewers with a 6-5 win yesterday on the road against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Manager Pat Murphy, pleased with catcher Eric Haas and shortstop Joey Ortiz.
It felt good that we kept grinding at bats out. They know how they have to play. And, you know, Eric Haas, you know he doesn't get to play very much, getting a big RBI with two outs. You know, Ortiz, what can you say about the way the guy plays? Defensive.
The Brewers have now won 10 in a row. NFL Packers reporting to Green Bay for the start of Wednesday's first day of practice. Linebacker Quay Walker, physically unable to perform. He's been dealing with that ankle injury at the end of last season.
Hard to say. I think I just do too much thinking, to be honest with you. Instead of just going out there and just play. Half is making me think, whatever the case may be, it'd just be me trying to do everything right instead of just lining up and just playing. I can be a real, real productive player.
That's Packers linebacker Quay Walker with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a chance of showers and storms, and lows within a few degrees of 60. More clouds around for tomorrow, still the chance of storms, flood watch in effect. Highs in the low 80s. And mid 80s and more humid Wednesday, more storms. Currently it's 66.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I've been trying to learn sheepshead for 40 years. My father-in-law is still a card counter, knows what everybody has. It is so easy to go, oh gosh, I still don't know who the partner is. And is that a trump card or is it not? And so I'm still asking myself all these questions while they're busy taking all of my nickels. The one thing that got me where they allow me to play is getting the app. For all the technology that's out there, that is one of the positive notes.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. An important topic, the increase in death by suicide by Wisconsin's elderly. Folks from Wisconsin Watch will join us and discuss. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, this is great. It's finally Monday. You have no idea, folks, how long I wait, how long the weekends seem until we can get back in the air here and start talking about things that are truly important in life, like movies and TV, comedy, music, theater, some sports, what's happening in Wisconsin, all this great stuff, bringing some showbiz talk to our local communities as well. It is great to have you with me on this Monday night. I am live from Madison tonight. Always fun to be here at Civic Media headquarters in Madison, following the great Matt Rothschild. And Matt, I'm sharing a mic here. Matt was just here. Aaron Zommers is here. Aaron, am I okay? Matt seems like a pretty hygienic person. Would you say that's accurate?
I would say so.
Okay.
Who knows what's happening when I'm not looking? But from everything I see, you should be good.
All right. What do you think, Con? You think I'm okay?
I don't know. It's not your usual, you know, your mic cover and your headphones.
That's true. those are the voices, ladies and gentlemen, of Conrad Krieger, who is holding down the fort up in Green Bay at our home court, and Aaron Zommers, who always usually sticks around here whenever he can to help out, help me get situated here. So are you sticking around for a while?
At least for a little while, yeah. Okay. I got some stuff to work on. And
you got plans tonight?
I enjoy being here.
Yeah, it's fun to have you. You're very in tune with what's like all the movies and TV shows and all that kind of stuff. I think we hit stuff in your wheelhouse quite a bit.
I would say so, yeah. There's definitely times when I'm listening, either driving home or other times that I hear something and I'm like, you know what? I should see that movie. Or I agree. Yeah, that was good. Or you know.
Yeah. I was listening to the great Todd Albaugh earlier today and I said I would have texted. Usually when I listen, though, to the other Civic Media shows, I am driving. And I would like to text to be supportive, but I don't know, like, does anybody ever just sit at home and listen to the radio? I joke about that, but I don't think people do that anymore. You can't text safely when you're driving on 151.
It's definitely less common than listening while driving.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Con, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Yeah? Did you have a good weekend?
I did. You know, I jinxed myself this weekend.
How'd you do that?
A couple weeks ago, I went golfing without sunscreen, and I didn't get burnt.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? Maybe my skin is not as white as I thought it was. And I went golfing yesterday. And I didn't put sunscreen on, and now I am extremely burnt.
No, you're looking at like Schwabba fair skin, right? You got darker hair up top.
Yeah,
but you have a pinkish hue like I do. We got to be careful. The same exact thing happened to me. I was pulling into town yesterday after my wife's family reunion, and we saw a neighbor playing soccer. A little guy. It was his soccer night, and his parents were there, so we pulled over. And I brought bug spray with me because the mosquitoes up in Marinette have been awful. I don't know what happened. They've been great all summer. All of a sudden, we are getting bombarded. Sure enough, I brought bug spray with me. What do you think happened?
You got burnt?
Yeah, Conrad, I got sunburned. No, not one mosquito. But if I had not brought the bug spray with me, I would have gotten chewed alive, you know? So that's just how it goes.
I was thinking, different way there, but all right.
You thought I got a sunburn. hey, we got a great show for you, folks. A couple really solid Madison dudes on the show tonight. At 6:35, writer, director, and producer John Roach will be here. John is a native Madisonian. Is that, that's what they call him, right, Aaron? Madisonian?
I think so.
It's a very busy word, but I like it. It works. John will be here at 6:35. John made a film called A Road at Night about Howard Moore. Howard is a former UW basketball player and was kind of the spirit of the team when he was here. Even though he didn't put up huge numbers, everybody loved him. He came back to Madison, and if I recall, it's been a couple months since I've seen the documentary, but begged Bo Ryan to put him on the staff in a coaching position because he had been coaching at other places, and Bo Ryan did, and Howard Moore became a very popular coach as well. Well, there was a terrible drunk driving accident that affected Howard's family and Howard, and John Roach, my guest tonight, who is just a fantastic filmmaker, made a film called A Road at Night. And we'll find out if that is available to stream tonight. It's just a beautiful documentary. John will be here in studio to talk about that. John also was a co-writer on the film The Straight Story, which is a David Lynch film that was shot in Iowa and Wisconsin around 1998, 1999. Richard Farnsworth plays the lead role of a guy who drives a John Deere tractor from Iowa to Wisconsin to see his ailing brother. It's just a great story, and I rewatched it again over the weekend. Sissy Spacek is in it, Harry Dean Stanton. Chris Farley's brothers are in it as brothers. They had kind of a funny scene with Richard Farnsworth. And John wrote that film with Mary Sweeney, who also edited the film for David Lynch. So we'll talk to John about that. And then I'm just going to tease this. John created a show in the 80s when he was still producing TV in Chicago that was just great. And I'll tell you all about that when he was here too. But it's a great show involving sports, and he's just a multi-talented guy. So John will be here at 6:35 in the studio. And then at 7:20, my pal Rocker will be here. Rocker, as many of you know, filled in for Terry Barr over the last few weeks, not the last couple weeks, but when Terry was on vacation for Bar Band Friday Night. Rocker knows more about Wisconsin, knows more about Wisconsin music than all of us combined. And when I say all of us, I mean me, Aaron Zommers, and Conrad Krieger. Would you accept that, Aaron? You okay with that criticism that you don't know that much about Wisconsin music? I don't want to put you on the spot.
I would agree. I would say that Wisconsin music especially, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who knows more.
Yeah. I think Rocker and Terry Barr together,
right,
especially because Conrad's mostly a sports guy.
Yeah.
And I would say it's safe to say Conrad does not know a ton about Wisconsin music.
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm not trying to insult you guys here together, but since there's two of you here,
it's just
the
fact.
It's just the fact. I just saw Sage, too. He gave me a wave on the way out, and then he doubled back for some candy. I don't know if I should out the CEO like that and say.
Well, you already did.
He just got caught with his hand in the candy jar. Have a safe trip home, Sage. So great show tonight and a lot of fun. I think before we go on, I want to talk about this family reunion a little bit. But I think before I do that, we should get to our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
We got a good one tonight, folks. It's National Junk Food Day. What junk food can you not say no to? It's a double negative. Did I get that right? Make sure I'm asking the right question. What junk food can you not say no to? I guess I'll go first because there's so many that I find chips are tough for me to say no to. I eat chips. But I think for actual junk food, I'm going to say ice cream sandwiches. I can put down a whole box of those if the mood catches me right. A six pack, not a 12er. But I could probably eat six ice cream sandwiches. What about you guys? Weigh in here.
You know, I posted on social media, I'll just say it, peanut butter filled pretzels.
Those are like crap.
Once I start eating them, it's hard to stop. And then all of a sudden, half of the container's gone. And you don't even realize how many calories are in those things. It's it's like 130 or somewhere on there for like five pretzels.
And then pretzels doesn't do anything for you.
Exactly. So it's really easy to keep eating those.
What about you, A-Train?
I feel like
Aaron Zimmers.
I do love ice cream. I love it a lot.
I do too.
And so I try not to buy it. But also just pretty much any salty snack. You got pretzels, you got potato chips, those peanut butter filled pretzels, definitely. I am a snacker. I am guilty as charged. I can't help myself around the salty snacks or the ice cream.
So where are you at on sea salt caramels?
Oh, beautiful.
Forget it.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I will shove like four of those in my mouth just to get that crazy salty chocolate sensation, which is amazing. And here's the thing about like peanut butter filled pretzels. On paper, I don't like those. I'll look at them. If Conrad, if you were over and you saw them, you start, I'd go, oh, that's disgusting. And then I'd eat one and then the whole thing would be gone. And I would feel really crappy about myself because I technically don't even like those, but you eat them. Food is addictive like that. It's like nicotine. So there you go. Let's get some of these social media responses out of the way for our question of the night. Folks, if you want to be part of the show, and I hope you'll be part of the show, we're live from Madison tonight. I'm not at the home court, so I need some help here. I need you guys to be part of the show. What junk food can you not say no to? It's National Junk Food Day. That's tonight's question of the night. You can let us know at 855-752-4842. Or 855-75-CIVIC. Whatever is easiest for you to remember. Also, let us know on the app. Very easy to use. Most of you probably have it, but if you don't, you can download it. And Nightlight is on statewide. So you just click on whatever station you're listening to and fire away. Also, you can text us on the stream. We get tons of comments on the stream every night. That's fun, too. And that's Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Either way, however you join the show, it's great to have you. So let us know what your favorite junk food is and the junk food you can't say no to. Monica Hale says, anything free. Which is why I am currently on a really strict 60-day weight loss program. It was tough even giving the free Mounds candy bar to my sister. The diet also involves fasting. I thought you were nuts when you said it was a good thing. She's talking to me, Conrad. She says, but I'm halfway through and fasting isn't the hardest part. Well, I hope it's helping, Monica, because fasting is not as difficult as people think it will be. Especially if you eat like a prisoner of war refugee right when you come off said fast, which I don't recommend either. But it's not that tough. And there are a lot of health benefits. So I'm glad you're doing okay with that. And I wish you luck on your program. And thank you for the text. Conrad, of course, peanut butter filled pretzels. I said ice cream sandwiches. Jody Hinman on the social media says caramel corn. That's a tough one too. Man, I could chow caramel corn like there's no tomorrow. Thank you, Jody. Paula Krieger, Conrad's mom, checks in. She says, chips and dip. I'm with you there, Paula, especially if it's like guacamole. Forget it. I could polish off so much guacamole with a great nacho chip. I should have probably said, what junk food can you say no to? Because a lot of these are making me hungry. Conrad's mom also says, from Conrad's dad, any kind of Little Debbie snacks, nutty bars, brownies, little cakes, and all the holiday-themed desserts, a must for all ages. Not going to argue with Conrad's parents. I learned that the hard way. Amanda Nimmer, I hope she's enjoying her time off as best she can. Amanda says, popcorn, especially theater popcorn. Conrad, do you remember I said that last week? Theater popcorn, I don't really even like, but if I take one handful, the whole bag is gone.
It's game over.
It's game over. And it's the same with the peanut butter pretzels. George Chemers. Hey, George, good to hear from you, buddy. He's putting in a Facebook response. He says, oh, I thought every day was junk food day. Well, it certainly can be, George. It's the beautiful thing about being an American. Do whatever you want. Daniel Wheeler. Did you know Daniel Wheeler, Conrad, is a matchmaker? Do you remember when he was on the show?
Yeah.
He brought us matches. He is an actual matchmaker. And that gave me an idea for a rom-com.
Yeah, that's...
a matchmaker. A guy who actually makes matches. Meets the love of his life. And she's a challenge. Daniel says, I really like triple chocolate donuts. They remind me of a great bit from Jim Gaffigan's stand-up where he says, I asked my son if he wanted to get a donut, and he said, I'm not hungry. I said, what does that have to do with it? That's great. All right. We'll read more of your texts throughout the course of the show. What's your favorite junk food, folks? That is tonight's question. John Roach coming up at 6:35. And Rocker is here in studio. Two great guests. A great question. Great to have you with me. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 Highway 63 Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
This is Pete Schwabba coming to you live with Nightlight on a beautiful night in downtown Madison, our beautiful state capital. Great to be here at Civic Media headquarters tonight. Conrad is holding up the fort. Down the fort or up the fort?
Holding down. There, I'm holding it down.
Holding down the fort. Okay. Aaron Zommer is a shout out, hanging around. He of Todd Alba fame. Always fun to connect with Aaron, who sticks around and is part of Nightlight, which is always fun. Our question of the night, folks, I'm just going to say it differently. It's National Junk Food Day. What is your favorite junk food? What is the junk food you can't say no to? Boris Hamilton, my old pal Boris, says McDonald's hash browns. Oh, that's one I never would have thought of. It's a great answer, though. Thank you, Boris. And on the stream, Dave says Old Dutch onion and garlic at the Shorecrest. The Shorecrest is a bar in Marinette that, I guess if you're a Packer fan, you love the way it looks. It's painted green and yellow. But it's right out sort of kind of close to the water, but on the highway, on Bayshore, if you're in Marinette. It's a really cool, kind of a quaint little joint. But not the best to look. I bet even Packer fans are like, oh, that's an interesting choice. Dave says, I'm getting the munchies. Thanks a lot. You got it, Dave. Chow down, buddy. Terry Barr, Bar Band Friday Night. Our pal Terry says, dill pickle chips. I could go with dill pickle chips. Those are fantastic. So here's one of my foods I'm not addicted to. And I love this. I was at a family reunion this weekend for my wife's family, the Lockerns, big Irish family. And there's Irish all over the place on my wife's side of the family and a lot on my side too. So we're dealing with that. But I love this cracks me up when old people still use the phrase wieners. I'm always taken aback by that. Like, I don't know if I should make a joke, but they're like being serious. We've got wieners on the grill. Okay. Good for you. Good for you. My mother-in-law still calls them wieners. And I'm talking about, of course, for the younger generation, if you're listening, hot dogs. That's what older people call hot dogs, is wieners. Conrad, do you think they started calling wieners, hot dogs, wieners, because of what, the slang for men's junk? Or do you think it was men's junk that made them call hot dogs that?
Which came first? I don't know.
Dude, it has to be that they were hot dogs first. Nobody would do it the other way around. That's disgusting.
Yeah, that's a good question. We need to go to the Google for maybe.
Go to the Google. I'm telling you. I will bet $1,000 it's how I just said it was. But it was a really fun family reunion. It was up near Manawa at Bear Lake Resort. We had a great time. Except there was a sound system. Like, there was this guy talking for like 15 minutes. Nobody had any idea what the guy was saying. And he just kept going. And nobody told him we couldn't hear him. So he's just up there. We're just letting him jaw. And nobody knows. He has no idea. Nobody can hear him. That was embarrassing. But a good time.
Thank you
to the Lockers.
Yeah. I just sent you a little description of why it's called wieners in your chat, if you want to read that.
Can I read it on the radio?
Yes. Yes, it's fine.
Okay. It's nothing like obscene.
It's not. No, it's not.
All right, we'll get back to that, because that's something you want to keep in the back pocket for later in the show, I think.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if I want John Roche to have to follow the wiener talk. This is like this great guest I have.
Yeah.
I don't want him to have to follow that. Hey, we got a text from Matt Rothschild from the 608. You just heard Matt. He says blue corn chips on their own. I mean, I love blue corn chips. And they're supposed to be healthier than regular chips. But I think I need some guacamole or some good salsa or something. Thank you, Matt. It was good seeing you again. Drive safely. Hands at 10 and 2. Tom from New Berlin says, theater popcorn is like chips and dip. You eat unabated. Keep shoving. I think Tom made himself hungry with his own text there. He kind of trailed off like he was going to the kitchen cabinets. Barb from Waukesha says, Oscar Mayer wiener, the fun jingle. It is, Barb, but it's a weird thing. I mean, just tell me what it said, Conrad. I can't read something when I'm on the air like that. What did it say? What's the gist of it?
All right, so it says wiener is derived from the German word for Vienna, Wien, okay, where the sausage was popularized.
All right, that's not like obscene or anything.
No.
No, it was called that first, and then men made an association with it and said, oh, I'm going to call this a wiener too. And I think it's not the other way around.
The sausage itself was originally called Wiener Wurstchen, that's meaning awful. Vienna sausage.
Nobody would ever eat that. That's terrible. You know, I'm not the greatest idea guy in the world, but I know when I hear something bad. And that's terrible. They need to change that. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad and Aaron. I can't say no to taco-flavored Doritos and ranch-flavored Doritos. Taco are the original, I think. Well done, Anna. I'm with you. And Tom from New Berlin also says, once in a while, I go for Dorito nacho cheese, the test generation mid-70s. That's right. They sprung that on us, Tom. The Red Dye 40. Tom also says potato chips and sour cream dip. Tom is leading the pack here. I think he's a junk food junkie because he's got a lot of favorite junk foods. This is like when Casper chimed in with the dive bar question.
Yeah.
And he had every suggestion. Mark from Prairie to Sex says, Oscar Mayer had a song. Oh, I wish I was an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I really want to be. I remember that well. Thank you, Mark. And Barb from Waukesha says, oh, grow up. LOL. Just kidding. I know. I'm very immature. Conrad, you're younger than me. Do you think I'm immature?
You know, just okay. A little bit. Just.
That was a long pause. I had to think about that one.
I was going
to
ask Aaron next. So, all right, we've got great fun on the show tonight, folks. Rocker is here at 7:20. We're going to be talking about the Atwood Music Festival. Cool Madison vibes on the east side here. That is coming up this weekend. We'll discuss that with Rocker. And in just a few minutes after the news, my pal John Roach will be here, a great director, producer, writer. Very, very much looking forward to having John on the show. And here in studio, coming to you live from Madison, Conrad Krieger working the board in Green Bay. Aaron Sommer's working the board here in Madison. I can't speak for the rest of the stations, but I think we're covered. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is sharing safety tips for kids riding ATVs and UTVs. DNR officials say there have already been 21 fatal crashes this year, most of which involved riders who were not wearing a helmet or seatbelt. They're reminding younger riders that helmets are required for anyone under 18 years old, and riders under 16 years old must operate age-appropriate vehicles. They're also reminding anyone born in 1988 or later that they are required to complete an ATV safety certification course before operating alone. A group of Republican state lawmakers is renewing efforts to repeal a partial veto by Governor Tony Evers that increased school funding for the next 400 years. A newly proposed bill would eliminate the per-pupil adjustments from the 2023-2025 biennial state budget beginning in the 2026-2027 school year. The partial veto allows school districts to raise revenue limits by $325 per student every year through 2024-25. The Wisconsin Supreme Court upheld the veto following a legal challenge earlier this year. Leadership Washburn County is now accepting applications for their 2025-2026 program. Anyone who works in the county and is interested in the professional and personal development program is welcome to apply. The application can be filled out online, and the organization will accept them until August 11th. Program participants will meet once per month from September to May to develop their leadership skills and work to address issues facing the region. The program will cover topics like local healthcare and economic issues taught by local community and business leaders. The Rice Lake City Council is set to consider a proposal for continued use of the recreation options outside the Armory Building following its sale to World Harvest Church. The city had a previous agreement with the Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs allowing residents to use the baseball and softball fields, playground, and picnic area near the facility. The agreement would have been in place until 2029 prior to the sale of the facility. The proposal that the City Council will consider on Tuesday seeks to continue that agreement with World Harvest Church. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwab. Well, the Kiss Cam couple is still reeling from the traumatic outing at a Coldplay concert last week. According to TMZ, Coldplay frontman Chris Martin is mortified that the couple were exposed thanks to him. Astronomer CEO Andy Byron was seen canoodling with the head of his HR department, Kristen Cabot. They probably figured it was safe to go into a crowd of 65,000 people to check out Coldplay's record-breaking Music of the Spheres tour that actually started back in 2022, when Byron and Cabot were probably still just flirting. Many think Byron will resign or be forced out of his position, and as for Cabot, if she remains in HR, she'll have to get used to people laughing when they're called into her office to be scolded. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwab, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a chance of showers and storms, and lows within a few degrees of 60. More clouds around for tomorrow, still the chance of storms, flood watch in effect. Highs in the low 80s. And mid-80s and more humid Wednesday, more storms. It's 69 degrees right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Folks just deserve a little bit better than the usual promises that they're getting. But our members of Congress, two of them from here in Wisconsin, recently signed a letter to Canada and said, Canada, you're on fire. You need to do something about this, which is really not necessarily the best course of action when your neighbor's house is burning down is to send a letter complaining about the smoke.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Tomorrow, Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom talks about his new daily newsletter, Below the Beltway, tracking Congress and all things happening in D.C.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Welcome back. I am Peach Wabba. This is Nightlight. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network broadcasting statewide here from beautiful downtown Madison tonight. I'll be here all week. Conrad, I meant to tell you, Paul Vandenplas came out. He was in Marinette over the weekend, and he sent me a text, and he was doing a thing. He's doing this thing about he's going to eat like 100 hamburgers in 100 weeks or something like that, and he was in Marinette to eat at Mickey Lou's. And he texted me, and I went out and said hello to him and his beautiful wife, Sarah. They were. I don't have a report, though. I don't know how the actual feeding or eating went, but I'm anxious to talk to Paul about that. And I was just reminded because he said his favorite junk food is soft-baked cookies. Can't keep away from those. Well done, Paul. We'll talk soon. It was great to see you the other day. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my first guest of the show. He is I've used the term Renaissance man here and there, but you're kind of a show business Renaissance man. My guest is John Roach. He joins me here in the studio. He is the co-writer of the film The Straight Story, the David Lynch film. He wrote another show, created another show back in the 80s we're going to talk about that I absolutely loved. But first, we're going to kick off with a movie he made that actually absolutely knocked my socks off. It was a documentary about Howard Moore, UW staple. He was a UW Madison basketball player and coach, and was the victim, he and his family, of a terrible car crash. And John made a documentary about that. We'll talk about all that stuff, John, but it's great to have you here.
Pete, great to see you. We became fast friends. It's like,
yeah,
when you were good enough to have me on for the to help promote the A Road at Night for the Wisconsin PBS, Film Festival, yeah. And our thing for the Barrymore, screening at the Barrymore. But it was like we're peas in a pod because we both, you're a native Chicagoan, but I am of Chicago stock on my mom's side and then lived and worked there for over 20 years. And so I felt like I was just talking to a homie when I first met you. Well, it was like, where the hell have you been?
It's funny because I think we have that in common in a way. I always talk about how I grew up the first part of my life in Chicago, moved up to Marinette, Wisconsin, and then I went back to Chicago. So when I'm there, I'm a cheesehead. And when I'm here, I'm a fib.
Right.
I'm like a man without a home.
Yeah.
I love both places. But you're not always kind of welcome in a kidding way. But you had the same experience. You had a lot of time in Chicago and a lot of time
in Wisconsin. So. And, you know, I was in Chicago in the 80s. You know, I started out on a show that, called AM Chicago, which became Oprah.
Yeah.
I would go to screenings for films that I was producing segments for. And I'd be in the screening room with Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that, too.
Right? Here's two critics in Chicago who could make every knee in Hollywood shake once a week.
Right.
Right? And, which was remarkable. We had the ascendance of Oprah, the ascendance of Michael Jordan,
right,
who was bigger than any person in the world.
Right.
Worked with him a ton. It was the rise of the 86 Bears and Mike Ditka and the Bears, the Bulls, all that stuff. Second City had a bumper crop of talent that was just unbelievable. And, David Marinus, a great Madisonian,
great writer,
he wrote the biography of Barack Obama. And
too,
his
right?
lead two paragraphs were all about there was no more interesting city in the world than Chicago in the 80s. If you thought about it, and I was lucky to be there. It was like a maelstrom of all these elements that came together at one time. I remember going to the first Chicago Cubs night game with Steve Dahl and Gary. The first one got rained out, so we repaired to the Billy Goat, and I went in to use the men's facilities because there was a little beer involved throughout the night.
Sure.
And to my right is Bill Veeck, and to my left is Mike Royko.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's like, how do you write that stuff?
Wow.
And, you know, here's another thing. It's been a tough year. I worked a lot with the Miller Lite All-Stars. Bob Uecker passed. Obviously, I have nothing but just incredibly warm feelings about David Lynch and gratitude. And then George Wendt passed, who I worked with, Norm of Cheers, who just passed, who I worked with a lot throughout my career and considered a friend. And so, and certainly he was part of that Chicago scene back in the day. You know, he was part of the Tim Kazurinsky, Mary Gross cast. Right. And when we did AM Chicago, if we had a guest cancel at the last minute, we would just call the Second City people and they would come scurrying over and, you know, get their face out there and, you know, do a good 15 minutes and then we'd move on.
Well, that's exciting that you had that experience, but you also came back home here to Wisconsin.
I
we
did.
Both live here as adults.
Yeah.
You know, we got out of the rat race for the most part, but let's talk. I want to jump in because I have so much to talk to you about, John. And your hometown is Madison.
It is.
And you made this great film, A Road at Night, which I had the opportunity to see because you were on the PBS show that I host. And we got to talk about it a little bit there briefly. And you had this incredible screening at the Barrymore Theater, which I could not make because I was doing a different screening that night. But tell us about A Road at Night.
Well, my father worked for Badger Sporting Goods, which at one time was on State Street. And then he eventually became the head of the company. He played baseball at Wisconsin. We grew up about five blocks from Camp Randall.
Wow.
So I was immersed in sports and Wisconsin sports, Edgewood High School sports my whole life. My dad was a minor league baseball player. My grandfather played with the Four Horsemen for Newt Rockne at Notre Dame. Mm. So, you know, sports was just part of what I knew growing up. So I obviously knew about the Badgers, although ironically, the team that Howard was on in the early 90s, which featured, you know, Mike Findlay, Tracy Webster, Rashard Griffith, Andy Kilbride, and they were the first team to make the NCAA tournament in 47 years at Wisconsin. And so, but I didn't know them that well because I was working in Chicago then.
Mm.
And they didn't broadcast every game as they do now. You know, they broadcast everything now. You clear your throat and, you know, they do social media on it. So I didn't, you know, I knew Howard and his wife Jennifer in passing enough to nod at them because I was reasonably good friends with Bo Ryan, Greg Gard, and because my high school coach hired Bo Ryan at Platteville. I mean, it's not a big state,
gosh.
Pete. It's a very small state and an even smaller city.
And you're connected to everybody.
So, you know, it just is, it's happenstance. So anyhow, my good friend Tim Valentine, who is a big star up in the Valley, high school star, played at UW-Eau Claire. He has a friend, George Hamill, who's a Wisconsin grad who's done great. His sister was in my fifth grade class at Blessed Sacrament, amazingly. So when the accident happened with the Moore family, it was in 2019, and very shortly after that, the world shut down with COVID. Mm. And so the Moores were left to deal with this awful, the awful result of three young girls in Michigan not making one single good decision on their night out. And COVID was like this big curtain that dropped over Howard and his family. And as soon as people started coming back, the first thing Tim was Bo Ryan's lawyer. He's Greg Gard's lawyer. He's Paul Chryst's lawyer, Jimmy Leonard. So George Hamill, an avid fan, just said, when they finally got together to watch a football game, he said, what's the story with Howard? Everyone was asking that question because there was an accident and then there was the next bad thing. Okay.
Right.
Two bad things happened.
So let's say, okay. So just to give a quick recap, for listeners, Howard and his family were heading from Chicago to Detroit.
Well, from Madison to Chicago to visit his family, and then to Detroit to visit Jen Moore's mother, Vera, on the outskirts of Detroit.
Right.
And as many people do, they went to Chicago and thought, you know, we're going to leave at midnight and get through Chicago before the traffic, which is not an uncommon thing.
Right.
They went round the bend, you know, round, you know, South Bend and, you know, Gary and all that. And they were 20 minutes from Jennifer's home, and a young woman named Samantha Winchester had gone out on the evening with two of her friends, and they went to a bar, and they knew the bartender. And they had multiple rounds of drinks, and then Samantha decided she could drive home. And she somehow got mixed up and was driving the wrong way on M5 or whatever it is, but essentially the interstate outside Ann Arbor. And the Moores were coming around a corner. Jennifer was driving because Howard got tired, and they just swapped, 15 minutes before and got gas for the home stretch. And they had a head-on collision. And the way that accident happened, the Moores couldn't avoid this young woman. And so there was a terrible accident. Jennifer and Jaden Moore, their daughter, they were killed. Jarrell, their young son, was able to wrangle Howard out of the front seat of the car. Jen was on fire on the highway. And it was horrific, just horrific. But in the midst of all of this tragedy, there's this beauty, too, because immediately, within an hour, Howard's teammates started showing up. Andy Kilbride, Chris Conger drove from Chicago. Stan Van Gundy turned his car around. He was driving his son to college, went right to Ann Arbor to the hospital. And all of a sudden, he was surrounded by the brotherhood of that he belonged to of Wisconsin players. And it's a lot about the bonds of teammates, too. It's like if you've played big time sports in the crucible, in these big arenas, you're 18, 19 years old, and you're subjected to public scrutiny in it that most 18, 19 year olds aren't. And that draws you together. And it's like serving in the same unit in the military, right?
Right.
And they're friends for life. And they responded in such a remarkable way. And then Howard was an assistant coach at Wisconsin. So Greg Gard, all the coaches came over. Wisconsin actually chartered a plane to fly all the staff over. And there was just this outpouring of love. Then Howard gets back to Madison 3 months later. And he had third-degree burns over the upper third of his body. And as sometimes happens with burn victims, he threw a clot. And had a heart attack, a serious heart attack.
Later, though, right?
About 6 to 8 weeks later, he was recuperating at home. Jarrell was fine. Howard was ambulatory, verbal. He was healing. And then he had this terrible heart attack, and now he's nonverbal and nonambulatory. And it's brutal because here was a huge, beautiful, great athlete and one of the most voluble guys you'll ever meet. He lit up the room. He and Jen were beloved in the community, and now he can't walk or talk.
That's the voice of John Roach. He is my guest here on Nightlight in studio here, live from Madison tonight. We're talking about his amazing documentary, A Road at Night, and the story of the Moore family and their horrible accident. So the film is so great, John. Like, what I love about it is it's kind of two different stories. My brother went to UW. I never did. I've never lived in Madison.
Poor you.
But I know, right? But I did stand up here for years, and I just always loved it. And watching your documentary, there's a scene you have where the son, Jarrell, says to Stan Van Gundy, who I think was Howard's coach years ago.
He was an assistant coach under Stu Jackson, then head coach for 1 year.
And he called, and his son is saying, "Coach, I couldn't save my sister." I lost it. The fact that he called him coach.
Yeah.
A guy who he probably doesn't know nearly as, it's just a community. Like,
right.
This film makes you feel so good about UW sports, UW Madison, any connection you have. But then there's this tragic element to it too. We'll get into that. John is here. We're talking about his film. Then we're going to talk about The Straight Story, a film he made with David Lynch years ago too. But we're having some fun on that. And Mary Sweeney. I was going to mention her too. So we're coming back after this very short break. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The U.S. Department of Justice sent letters to 12 secretaries of state requesting their complete voter records as part of President Trump's executive order on elections. The reason for the request isn't completely clear, nor is the legality of such a request, which may violate the privacy and free speech rights of U.S. citizens. Back in May, we reported that DOJ requested records on Colorado's 4.65 million registered voters. To date, similar letters have been received by Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Minnesota, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. An email sent to Rhode Island officials asked to collect, quote, voting information as part of the department's efforts to implement President Trump's executive order preserving and protecting the integrity of American elections, unquote. It goes on to request a discussion on sharing information to find illegally registered voters, fraudulent voters, and enforcement of federal law. New Hampshire Secretary of State declined, citing state statute keeping voter rolls, quote, private and confidential. In addition to the Herculean logistics of such a request, Loyola Marymount Law School's Justin Levitt writes that such requests may not be legal under the Privacy Act of 1974, prohibiting the federal government from obtaining information on free speech activities, including voting and other personal information. We've linked the DOJ letters at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's ice cream month, and did you know you can celebrate at this area stop along the state's ice cream trail? Here's the scoop.
Now, in Wisconsin, we've got 49 different licensed ice cream plants that are making it. But this map focuses in on unique stops in Wisconsin. Every one of them's got a story.
That's Pam Yonke, known as the Fabulous Farm Babe. She says the current trail includes 20 locations, each one from Hayward to La Crosse, Madison, and then north to Appleton, Green Bay, and Door County, dishes out delicious, locally made ice cream.
I've been to one or two, but I'm surprised by how few I've gotten a chance to visit, and I'm a pretty big ice cream fan.
Find the trail at the website gatherwisconsin.com and add your own local favorite there, too. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. Broadcasting from beautiful downtown Madison, our state's capital. Our question of the night, if you want to get in on the fun, is what is your favorite junk food? It is National Junk Food Day. Bridget from the 818 says chips and dip. I can't resist. That is the age old. Everybody, nobody can resist chips and dip. John Roach, do you have a favorite junk food?
Well, I don't think it's junk food. I think it's a delicacy. Mm. But a fresh Oreo dunked in milk is irresistible.
That's not junk food. Yeah,
it's irresistible.
It's basically a vegetable. Let's be honest.
Some people will call it. You know, there are people who call it junk food. Right? You know that. You know why? Because it tastes good.
I know. And who cares, right? That's the voice of John Roach. He is my guest here in studio. It's great to have him here. He made this film called A Road at Night about Howard Moore, this terrible accident, and it's just this great movie. It'll be hopefully available to stream soon. But we're going to talk more about that, and I'm going to ask him about a film he co-wrote called The Straight Story. He co-wrote it with Mary Sweeney, and David Lynch directed it. And they shot a lot of that in Wisconsin and Iowa. So we'll talk about that coming up as well, too. But let's get back to A Road at Night. So I tell people this, John, like people I know that are big Wisconsin sports fans or people who went to the university and love Madison, you have to see this movie because it will make you proud to be part of Wisconsin and Madison. And then there's this family and this community element of the story, which is the tragic part, but it's a beautiful movie.
Well, first of all, thanks.
You're welcome.
You know, we screened it at, you know, pretty much debuted it, other than a private screening here in town, we debuted it at the Wisconsin Film Festival at the Barrymore. And I have to tell you, for people who care about Wisconsin sports and care about Madison and do the Moors at their church or, you know, I mean, they were popular folks in Madison.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of people at the film festivals. We also screened it at the Beloit Film Festival in Dubuque, which meant we could get test screenings and not have to get on a plane and go somewhere. Mm. And all sorts of people who knew nothing about Wisconsin sports or cared about sports in general watched it. It's shocking, but we had a lot of people at the screenings whose families were affected by drunk drivers.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we in Dubuque, a woman walked up and said, "Thank you for making this film. My oldest sister was killed with four other seniors in high school when I was in fifth grade. And my parents were never the same."
And you say that. You say it's not a movie. It's not a sports movie or movie, but it's about drunk driving.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a great question. So basketball is the stage upon which the story plays out. But it's not a basketball movie, I don't think.
Right.
I don't know
no.
if you. And it is about drunk. But here's, I think, we've just had two Hollywood production companies do our trailer and our poster, you know, because we're trying to act like it's a real movie.
Yeah.
And I got into a deep discussion with the guys doing the trailer. And I said, you know, for the longest time, I've said it's a crime doc. The woman who hit them
right.
committed vehicular homicide. But I said, it's not even a drunk driving movie. It's about there, but for the grace of God go I. It's about the awful randomness of life. Because the Moors were doing everything right,
right.
you know? And yet still, the fates completely messed with them in the most tragic of ways. And I also had a lot of people who just go, I'm going to go home and hug my wife and kids, you yeah. know? The other thing I have to say is there are inspiring, you know, it is a heavy topic and there's no dodging it, right? But there's so many moments of inspiration in it for me that, you know, you're moved. Just, I mean, doing the film and cutting the film, you know, you're a pro, you have some objectivity, you've done a lot of content before. But man, there were times, my editor, Joe Fung, he said, "John, every time I cut this thing, I cry." You know,
it's exhausting. Yeah,
I know. But I think the tears are also restorative. You know, it's like, I mean, first of all, you kind of need to cry, but you're also crying for the humanity of it. You know, that it's right. just, it reminds you how close everyone is and what a crapshoot life is.
It's such a great film. And those of you, it's not available to stream yet, but they're going to do some theatrical releases.
We hope to have a local theatrical release in Madison at one of the big theater chains. We're trying. And then maybe Milwaukee, maybe Chicago, because remember, there's a lot of Chicago
basketball. But
man,
where can people find out about these screenings, John? Like if you decide to do them, social media?
I'll be back on to tell you all about it.
Okay,
no, I mean, I'll tug your sleeve because
absolutely.
We hope to do it in the fall. We hope to get a streaming deal, which will be the easiest way to access it. Amazon.
Right.
You know, we're right now talking to agents in L.A. who represent it. And 90% of the revenues of the film goes to the Moore Family Trust to make sure Howard's health care is taken care of. And his son, Jarrell, has what he needs to get on with his life in college and all. So so we have a vested interest in having it generate some revenue. There have been really gracious donors to the trust already.
Okay.
So it's getting to where it needs to be.
It's such a great, and I think, like, for me, if you can, folks, if you can see it, if you're lucky enough to see it, like, I watched it alone. You sent me a link so I could watch it for the show when I interviewed you. But then I heard about this screening at the Barrymore, which sounded spiritual.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you want to see it. So if this does make it to theaters, and it looks like it will, follow, is there a website or social media they can follow?
Yeah, A Road at Night.
Okay,
A Road at Night. You know, Instagram, Facebook,
yeah.
X, I think, I don't know. But, you know, the Barrymore, you know, I'm a townie.
Yeah.
I mean, I was saying to someone, I'm trying to think, I think the last time I was in the Barrymore was to see Warren Zevon, God rest his soul.
Oh, funny.
But, you know, and it was packed. And it's... You know, actually, the same thing happened with I Wrote at Night that happened with A Straight Story when I went to the Madison Theater and watched it alone with a small crowd in there. People sit silently during the credits. When a film accomplishes that, you know you've got them,
yes.
That they're immersed in the story.
All right, John Roach is here. We got to do intermission here, folks. We'll be back for Act Two. And that was a great segue. We'll talk a little bit about The Straight Story,
sure.
That John wrote with Mary Sweeney and that was directed by David Lynch. We'll talk about that, and we'll maybe put a bow on A Road at Night. And if we have time, sports writers, I should have booked you for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
I have more to talk to you about than the length of time I'm on the air. So we'll do it. It'll be a mini-series.
Yeah,
we'll figure
sure.
it out. All right. We're coming right back in Act Two. Rocker is here in the second hour, too. We're going to talk about Atwood Fest. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tell her no.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
BBC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. The situation in Gaza for civilians is deteriorating, with aid distribution centers becoming hotbeds for deadly conditions. The United Nations Secretary General says he's appalled by the conditions for civilians there and is pushing once again for a ceasefire. Meanwhile, 134 Palestinians have been killed in the last 24 hours, according to the Hamas-run Ministry of Health, due to Israeli attacks. ABC's Dia Ostaz.
The famine and the hunger increase sharply and intensively between the people on the ground. I witnessed persons and people collapsing in the streets because the lack of food and because the hunger, and it's put the people at risk to head into very dangerous places to get food.
On Sunday, officials say a 4-year-old child walking with their family was bitten by a mountain lion at Hurricane Ridge in Olympic National Park in Washington. The child is undergoing treatment for their injuries at a Seattle hospital. The investigation is ongoing. This is ABC News.